We kick off hour number three of Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Julia Ramsey with you on this Friday edition of the program. Appreciate you tuning in as we break down round one of the NFL draft. Going to get to a little Tennessee sports as well here in hour number three. This segment's brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams, and ZillowKnoxville.com is the website. It's Knoxville's premier home search, hosted by Knoxville's top agents. Discover fresh, modern residences at ZillowKnoxville.com. That's ZillowKnoxville.com. You can search all the listings right there, and you can get in touch with Travis and Emily McKinney. They'd love to help you buy or sell here in the Knoxville area. Give them a call at 865-548-8267. That's 865-548-8267. Or visit ZillowKnoxville.com. You can just email them right there through the website and search the listings. That's ZillowKnoxville.com. It's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. I guess this will be the last chance we have to talk about whether it will or will not happen. Kyle Phillips is the best hope for Tennessee to have a draftable player in the 2019 NFL draft. I know some people have started kind of looking ahead and trying to project who may or may not be draftable in future years, but that almost seems like just a big waste of time. You never know what's going to happen. I hope Tennessee will have some guys maybe this year that emerge as like, oh my gosh, this guy's so much better than we thought.
The real Taylor.
You mentioned players getting drafted from Tennessee. Before last night, the Vols were 7th all-time in first-round draft picks at 46. And not far behind them, they were tied with Oklahoma, which, of course, Oklahoma had two players go in the first. So they jumped ahead, and then Michigan also had two players, and they were at 45. So Tennessee now falls to number 9 on that list.
Sad state of affairs.
Yeah, that's...
Save us, Jeremy, please. Please save us.
Jarrell Taylor, you think? I wonder, too, if guys...
He'd be my bet for next year.
I would love it if one of these like true freshmen was so good, you're like, man, if the draft guys are like, man, in 20, whatever it is, you know, 21, these guys are going to be, or 2022, these guys are going to be the top. Like, oh, can you believe how good Wanya Morris is at left tackle as a true freshman? Look at those feet. Look at that great pass protection. Jared Garantano's white jersey just so clean for this big road game. I don't know. Maybe that's a little too much wishful thinking, but I hope you start to see some of that with some of these guys. You know, Quarius Crouch, it's like, man, watch this guy flash. You know, next year for Tennessee, talking about like 2020, he's going to be an every down guy, and can't wait to see him in the league. Look at this physical ability. And I think I'm more excited to see Toa Toa go at linebacker than even some of the guys we've already seen in spring. It's been a long time since we've
I think it's just hope. You just hope he's good. I think that's why you're...
I would love to argue with you right now.
I think because you've seen the guys that are here, and none of them are just like...
I would love to debate this.
It's just the hope. It's the hope factor.
But you're 100% right.
Toa Toa's hope factor is
still
high.
Sometimes you just have to admit defeat and say, yes, you're correct.
What players left on the board tonight are you most interested to see where they end up? Or really, are there any?
I am. I mean, I'm quarterback-wise, Drew Locke. I think Will Greer goes tonight.
You do?
He'll be a third-round pick, I think.
I'm interested to see where Drew Locke ends up. I mean, I don't necessarily care, but it is interesting. Just because we've seen him for so long at Missouri, kind of where he ends up matters at least a little bit. Debo Samuel is a guy I'm kind of interested in.
Yeah.
SEC wide receivers.
Him and Metcalf and Brown are probably, along with Drew Locke, the ones I'm most interested in.
There's some running backs too. I mean, for fantasy football purposes, I kind of want to see where those guys go. David Montgomery is a guy that people he's kind of a Kareem Hunt type. Like, people think he could come in and just be an immediate impact type of guy. Kind of like the Alabama guy that went last night also. And then there's some SEC, like you guys mentioned, the wide receivers. There's also
some
later.
I'll throw Stidham in there too. Is tonight a night maybe he gets an early call? I mean, it's just saying if people start reaching on quarterbacks, you could get a run again.
I don't even know, man. Like, I'm honestly curious to see if he even gets drafted.
It doesn't necessarily have to be tonight. I mean, we're not going to be able to talk about Saturday
So. He's rated higher than Will Grier some places, which I thought was shocking. Like, I would definitely have Grier ahead of Stidham.
When we talk about that, might be the case of only takes one team,
and it might be the case of did the system at West Virginia prop up Grier, and did the system at Auburn maybe hold back Stidham
maybe.
A little bit?
Does Jalen Hurd go tonight?
No, I don't think so.
Did you? He ran a 4.66.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he'd be a little faster than that.
Yeah, me too.
It's kind of slow.
Like Travion Williams. Like, I want to see where some of these backs go that I've watched a lot of in SEC football.
Jalen Hurd is currently the 98th best player available, which is ironic.
Bryce Love. I mean, these guys probably may not even go tonight, but over the weekend.
Yeah, I guess.
Preston Williams. Think he's going to be good? You think he's got a chance?
I think he's got a chance. I think there's probably some character questions with him. I'm not sure if that's warranted or not, but the way he left Tennessee, some of the stuff that happened during his, you know, recruiting period and all that. Like, I guess there's maybe just some questions there.
Do you think all NFL execs are just like, you're at Tennessee with Butch Jones. I can't hold that against you. All is forgiven. We don't even research those situations anymore.
Why did Preston Williams was he not invited to the combine? Did he just skip all the stuff at the combine? Do we remember this at all?
I do not know.
His projection is for round 5. So I guess maybe his NFL comparison, Martavis Bryant. All right. Apparently he was a little disappointing at his pro day, so maybe he wasn't as fast as people thought he could be and stuff. But I mean, he definitely looked pretty good. Colorado State, 6'4", 211. But pretty far down the board. Will the Titans take a wide receiver at some point, Davey? Like, they don't come out of this draft without a wide receiver at some point, right?
They have to take a receiver somewhere or trade for one, like. You got to do something.
Benley just texted me and said Preston Williams wasn't invited to the combine because he had a stalking incident with a female.
Oh. Good work by you, Benley. Yeah, Jalen Hurd's like 5 spots ahead of Preston Williams on the board. To me, with them as wide receivers, that I don't know. They'd be pretty close. But maybe it is the off-the-field stuff bumps him down too much. I mean, Hurd's situation here was weird, but no one's ever questioned his, like, you know, like, work ethic and
no, I
character.
No, I think with him,
field,
though, it's so. You've played the position for 1 year.
Is that good or bad? Or maybe both?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, hey, you weren't terrible at it, but is that the best you got, or are you somebody who can get even better?
Riley Ridley will be on the board at some point, the Georgia wide receiver.
Yeah, whatever.
Not excited
he's
about
no
that.
Calvin.
I was about to say, yeah, he's not his brother.
He's no kind
of, but just a guy. It is crazy. It doesn't matter what position you look at, how many SEC guys are just chock full.
Yeah, we're going to just break records again, probably. It's just what the conference does. Not exactly mad about it. Just wish, you know, we were doing our part to add to the number.
Yeah.
It's been a while since you felt really, really good going into an NFL draft without having the dread of, oh, my gosh, we stink now. Like, it'll be nice when we get back to the every year we've got, you know, a handful of guys that are in the running and going to be drafted high, and we're not terrified about the next season because they all happen to go at once. That's what I like the best. I want to get back to that.
Yeah, the when Kamara went and Barnett. And you just knew. Like, you're just like, yeah, there's
– Malone.
We don't have anybody that can replace these guys.
Dobbs. You had a lot in that one draft.
I want to see where Davey's boy
Gardner
Minshew
is. But you knew that was your whole team. Like, that's what you were like, bye. I'm happy for you.
I want to see where Nick Fitzgerald goes to play running back.
Tight end.
Trace McSorley, too.
Isn't Nick Fitzgerald like 6'7"?
He's tall, but he ain't that tall.
He's huge.
He's 6'7"? He's 6'5". That is pretty big.
Thank you. Too big for a running back, Nate. He's a tight end.
Okay.
Hunter Renfrow, he get drafted?
Just trying to make a joke.
He's already got some type of endorsement deal.
Really?
Like a retirement community or something, I think is what I read.
I was going to ask
you. He has been in the league for a while.
Anti-aging pills, multivitamins maybe.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. He seems like a free agent pickup by the Patriots, if you ask me.
It's true.
Sorry. Too easy?
Yeah, probably.
Too easy? They got to replace Hogan.
He's on page two of the available wide receivers.
I thought you were going to say best available, but no. just receivers.
Where's David Sills at on that list?
I'll find him in a second. This says Renfrow rounds 5 to 6.
All right. See you tomorrow. Nice Saturday for Hunter Renfrow and family. Good for him.
Sills is on that page also, a little further down.
Really?
Yeah.
Sills system is 6'3", wide receiver.
211.
System wide receiver.
4'5", 7".
What's his deal? That he's only running 4'5", 7"?
Well, he's projected rounds 4 to 5. So
wow, we were slow.
Lance Zierlein actually thinks that Sills is a better prospect than Hunter Renfrow. 6'3", 211. 9-inch hands. 37.5-inch vertical.
9-inch hands?
Yeah. Was that? That's small, right?
That's baby hands. That's Drew Locke hands.
What did Drew Locke have?
9. Or 8.75 or something. These, 9.5.
There you go.
Need to be bigger than that at receiver. Doesn't Odell Beckham have like 12-inch hands? It's something silly. That's the key at receiver. Like Chris Carter had freaking mitts. 9-inch hands on Sills? You know, with the gloves these days, it really probably doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
He's a big guy, long reach. Probably not that big of a deal.
Kid could run some routes. I mean, he's just always open. That's crazy.
Well, against us.
No, I meant all year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I'd watch some other games.
All right. If you say so.
Odell Beckham, 10-inch hands on the number.
They're just saying that's kind of weird for him being like, 10? Since he's only like 5'11", he's not even 6 feet tall.
Yeah, oh, 5'11", 10-inch hands. That's one of the things. Like, they're way too big for how small he is.
No wonder he can make the...
A lad named Brad tweeted and said, Renfrow doesn't want to go before round 4 because tonight will be after his bedtime. You know, he eats the early bird special at like 5 o'clock, and then he's in bed by about, you know, 6:45.
I'm telling you, it's an Adam Humphries thing. Adam Humphries played at Clemson. Then there was a smidgen of a break.
No, Hunter Renfrow has been there for 8 years.
Then Renfrow played, and
just like Luke May at
White
North Carolina.
Receiver, and they think they all look the same.
No, that's not what it is, man.
I'm telling you.
No, he's been there for 10 years. Luke May, 18 years at North Carolina. A lot of experience in that rivalry, as I said.
That has a name kind of distortion to it because Sean May used to be there, even though they don't look at all alike.
You're killing me.
I'm just pointing out the reasons.
No, you're just being a negative Nancy, and it's starting to make me mad.
We haven't got into the T.J. Hockenson going 8th overall to Detroit. I wanted to get your take on that, Houston.
Well, look at that. Time for a break. Damn.
We could keep going. We don't need to take a break right now. I wanted to, what do you think about T.J. Hockenson?
You just shutting us out?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Hour number 3, Friday edition of 3 and Out. NFL draft rolls on tonight, 7 o'clock from Nashville, Tennessee. Much to the dismay of all the bachelorette parties that were also scheduled this time. We brought up hour 1. Like, how do you not know that? How do you not check that? Isn't that one of the things you should, you know, when you're scheduling an event, kind of check what else is going on in the area?
Yeah. One would think.
Like if you're going to the beach a certain weekend, maybe a new place you haven't gone to.
I think a lot of people would, but for a town that's so big, like Nashville, you're probably like, well, they're always going to have stuff going on that you don't even expect it to be like. I guess like it's the smallest city they've had the draft at before. I mean, you're comparing it to Dallas, Philadelphia, Chicago, and of course New York. But, I mean, really when you think of, like, the biggest cities in a state, you're usually not like, well, they're going to have something that's going to completely lock the entire city down unless it's, like, a worldwide event like the Olympics are coming to town.
I mean, I guess it's a good point. People just they probably didn't realize, like, oh, yeah, the NFL draft's here. No big deal. It's just going to be some guys on a stage and a screen and people watch it on TV, right?
And
underestimated.
And listening to the women that happened to be interviewed, I can tell you they do not pay attention to football.
No.
True.
And neither do their boyfriends or fiancés, apparently.
Hmm. Well, we had the story of Jimmy Haslam deciding to draft Johnny Manziel after being told by a homeless guy to draft him. Did you see this? There's one headline about Dave Gettleman apparently fell in love with Daniel Jones after watching him play three series at the Senior Bowl. So, pretty limited sample size there for old Gettleman.
Did you hear, see what Scott Van Pelt said about him?
No.
He's like, I watched a lot of Daniel Jones this year. I don't understand this. Their last game, they lost 59-7 to Wake. And then someone replied with, but he had a great Senior Bowl. Now I know why. So Gettleman watched him. Was he at the Senior Bowl or just had it on TV?
Oh, that's a good question.
Maybe he picked it up so quick. Article. He picked it up so quick. You know, it's just none of the other quarterbacks did that. Maybe.
Says it appears Dave Gettleman has a massive hard on for Senior Bowl MVPs. Oh man.
Was it that bad?
Well, here's the funny part. Dave Gettleman has drafted the Senior Bowl MVP quarterback three straight years. Davis Webb out of California, 2017. Kyle Laletta out of Richmond last year. And now Daniel Jones this year.
I mean, he was 8 of 11 for 115 yards and a touchdown. I mean, how do you say no to that? Like, is that Gettleman's scouting? Is that it? Just, I'm going to watch the Senior Bowl. That's my guy. You're paying scouts millions of dollars to scour the country and do background checks and watch every single second of tape on this guy from practice, games, scrimmages, everything. And you're going to watch 11 passes in the Senior Bowl and say, that's my guy.
For those who don't know, the Senior Bowl is a postseason college football all-star game, which showcases the best NFL draft prospects of those players who have completed their college eligibility. The game is completed after 5 or so days of practice. It's a big event for players looking to get drafted. It appears this event was so big for Daniel Jones that he went from a 5th-round pick to the 6th pick in the entire draft, according to Dave Gettleman. Nothing like a small sample size.
Here was the a scout's breakdown from the Senior Bowl. Yes, Jones was named Senior Bowl MVP, going 8 of 11 for 115 yards and a touchdown, but the numbers don't tell the entire story. With temperatures in the mid-50s, the sun shining, and hardly any wind to speak of, Jones' downfield passes regularly wobbled, and many of the throws he got away with here on Saturday would be interceptions in the NFL.
Dave Gettleman may be a mad genius for skipping out on Sam Darnold for Daniel Jones a year later, but it certainly doesn't seem like it.
Apparently one of the big plays in the game was a flea flicker.
If you look at his stats from college, even though he didn't have a whole lot around him, I mean, I know I'm biased, but like, you got at least wait to 17 there. Like that's going 6. It's just too much.
Even Duke Davey can't get on board with 6.
Well, if you're a Giants fan, you're already upset because of how Gettleman handled the trading of Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh yeah,
like there he was already under a tight microscope, and then you have the biggest moment. Whenever Daniel Jones' name is announced.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Giants fans with the We're the New Browns mantra last night and this morning.
The torch has been passed, Well, I started the conversation with Haslam and homeless guy, and he's drafted the Senior Bowl MVP three straight years.
Who was the last Senior Bowl MVP to be awesome? Like, isn't the whole idea of the Senior Bowl, like, these guys – aren't that good?
Right, because like they had to finish their...
Like, if you're elite... Well, not even that, but, like, if you're an elite senior, you're probably not playing in the Senior Bowl. Like, you're not trying to improve your draft stock if you're elite. Like, Peyton Manning didn't play in the Senior Bowl, did he? Right? Like,
Dak Prescott in 2016.
Here,
elite?
Okay, here's the...
First round... Like, no. I mean...
Daniel Jones, Kyle Laletta, Davis Webb. Those are the three we mentioned. Dak Prescott was 2016. Amir Abdullah was 2015. That was the Nebraska running back that went to, Detroit?
Yes. He just basically used that. used to catch out of the backfield.
D Ford, Auburn.
Okay. No.
EJ Manuel. Isaiah Pede. Christian Ponder. Brandon Graham. He was okay.
I think I'm going to stay away from these guys.
Pat White. Matt Forte.
Okay. I'll give you Forte.
Tony Hunt, Sonoris Moss, Charlie Fry, Phillip Rivers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, go all the way back to 2004.
That was the Giants draft pick. It was.
I know.
It was.
He's like, it worked once.
Well, that wasn't him, but yeah.
Well, it was. I mean, I'm just saying, like, it was his team, and they're saying, see, it worked.
Yeah, right.
Rivers would have been fine here, too.
Larry Johnson. Antoine Randall L.
See, these are some good ones.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, see, it was good back then.
Chad Pennington.
Well, I think we're relying a little too much on 90s and early 2000s Senior Bowl output.
Cade McNown. I don't know how to say this name. Dominion Craig from Auburn.
Damian Craig.
That's how they spelled Damian?
That is a weird way to spell Damian.
D-A-M-E-Y-U-N-E.
Damian.
I mean, I see it now, but that's okay. Pat Barnes, Bobby Hoying, Derek Brooks, Florida State. There you go.
Okay.
1995. Stan White, Eric Hunter.
Okay, we're way back.
Tony Smith.
We're too far back.
And 1991's Senior Bowl MVP, Tennessee's own Alvin Harper.
He had a good career with Dallas.
Steve DeLong won it in 1965. VFL.
There you go. Now you're up to date on your Senior Bowl MVP trivia. In case that's on a
seems like a bad game of roulette to pick these guys.
Yeah, yeah. There were a few good ones in there.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Lately, not so much. Not at all.
Well, and it even fits. Like I said, Matt Forte, and you're like, okay, but it even fits the mold. He's a guy that's like solid, not great. Because if you're great and you have untapped potential, you're not in the Senior Bowl.
No.
You're a finished product, and you're usually not an elite finished product.
Correct.
Yikes.
Mm-mm-mm.
Have you changed your stance on Daniel Jones at 6 now from hour 1?
No.
Maybe just a little bit.
Dude, just stand by. Just go all in.
He's going to win a Super Bowl. He's going to win a couple.
Two Super Bowls.
Maybe not with the Giants, but he's winning one. He's tall. What more do you need?
Big, strong, rocket arm.
He's got above average athleticism, too.
Here's his touchdown to interception ratio.
Oh, God.
For his 3 years at Duke. Well, he was there for 4, but he started 3. In 2016, 16-9, 17, 14-11. And then this past season, 22-9.
Look at that huge jump this year, though. I mean, wow. Wow. You're hoping to tap into that type of improvement. Great move. How big are his hands? Did we get a hand measurement on him?
To Google it.
Did you hear what
it's worth a Google.
Did you hear what Cutcliffe said about Daniel
9
Jones?
And 3/4. Those are giant hands. Literally and figuratively. Get it? Because he's a giant.
Got it.
Giant hands. 9 3/4. 6'5", 221. Ran a 4.81. That's lightning for him.
He had a couple of punts in college.
4.41 shuttle. Also very good. He looks the part. He looks like Clark Kent.
2 solo tackles.
Do you hear what Cutcliffe said about Daniel
interceptions,
Jones?
Right? Yeah.
Maybe fumbles.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Cutcliffe said, Daniel Jones embraces something we believe in here. Real swag is no swag.
Maybe the widest comment I've ever heard.
I'm trying to calculate that one.
It's a bit of a thinker.
If you have it, it's because you don't have it.
What?
That,
or you don't show it.
But that's what it is.
It's something that has to be shown to exist.
Yeah, kinda.
Sounds like a Duke thing.
Yeah, that's a definite we're trying to be smarter than you thing to say. That's basically him saying this guy is a big old nerd, but he's unassuming, and I like it because he doesn't have a big ego.
There was the tweet that Daniel Jones looks like the guy they cast to play Eli Manning in a movie about Peyton Manning's life.
I think it sums it up perfectly.
Nah, he's way too tall to play Eli.
How about this headline? Dave Gettleman purposely trying to sabotage the Giants franchise.
There you go.
The only explanation for drafting Daniel Jones 6th overall.
It's also funny because that guy was the one who won the 100 years of free tickets was the Giants fan, and then...
You guys are laughing, but he is already implementing the suck for Trevor Lawrence plan. And this is actually the smartest move I've ever seen. He is ensuring that for the next 2 years, the Giants are so bad that they will get Trevor Lawrence in the 2021 draft.
Here's the question I have. At what point does Daniel Jones take over? Will he start a game this season?
No.
I'll say yes. I'll say he starts one this year. I'll say he will start a game this year.
No.
Okay.
No. I think this is Christian Hackenberg. Like they're going to start the year. They're going to be like
he's way less known than Christian Hackenberg.
They're going to be like, "Oh no. He's no good. Eli's bad. Still better than Daniel Jones." Maybe you're right though on the Trevor Lawrence thing. That's smart.
Just implementing it early.
The Browns did that for Baker Mayfield. I mean, it was suck for Baker if you think about it. You know, you just set it up really early.
I think
they
just sucked.
Wasn't the whole draft
you go,
before?
Hugh Jackson.
Two drafts before.
You go sneaky Brandon like a fox.
You go Brandon Whedon, then Johnny Manziel. I mean, you just make sure that you just bottom out completely, and there's no chance that your players can overachieve. Why do you think they kept Hugh Jackson?
Why didn't they fire him when they got Baker?
Good question. I don't know. Doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Tyrod Taylor started for him this year or this past year. Like Baker wasn't even supposed to be the go-to guy.
That's why he got fired. It's like just play the kid, please.
The blog paragraph you're talking about being the Browns. I don't know what's going on. I'm completely sober, but I'm blacked out. I want to cry. You have the opportunity to take Josh Allen, Dwayne Haskins, and Ed Oliver. You take Daniel Jones. Some considered him a late-round talent. You pick him 6th overall. I hate Dave Gettleman. I pray that I look back on this blog and laugh one day, but I just don't see it. What an absolutely head-scratching decision. So head-scratching, it feels like Dave Gettleman is purposely sabotaging the Giants as a franchise. The Giants may officially be the new Cleveland Browns. I'm devastated. I'm broken. I lost a piece of my soul today. Oh. I can't keep living like this. Bleep you, Dave Gettleman, you scumbag bleep.
Tell us how you really feel.
Everything's great in New Jersey because they play across the river. I don't know how to handle it. With the New York Giants.
How about those Jets, though, you know?
I like that pick.
I don't even know who they got.
Quinnen Williams.
I was just making a joke. It's like, you know, Darnold's there. You can come on over if you want.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us as we roll on here. Hour 3 of Friday edition of 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com as they celebrate 85 years in East Tennessee, helping their members grow financially. Moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Houston, ask what else is going on this weekend. I mean, only a big-time, top-of-the-table matchup between your Tennessee Volunteers baseball team and SEC West leading Arkansas. Tony Vitello, the revenge tour. Well, sort of. It's the one place in the SEC where he coached, so...
This is the return.
The return.
Yeah.
The return of Tony V.
Yes.
Apparently they had a Hawaiian theme on their flight to Arkansas. Yes, that's right. Their flight.
Good for them.
No busing.
No. Nope.
10.5 hours.
Not when you're ranked.
Flying to Arkansas. And then busing, like, 2 more hours. Because,
right.
You know, the
airport. It's far away.
It's Arkansas. It's not very, you know, developed.
At what point do we start getting nervous?
About what?
That Tony V might get too good too quick. Like, at what point do you lock him up if you're Phil? Like, does Phil care enough about baseball to lock down Tony Vitello?
I mean, I think he finished the season. People are talking about Coach of the Year, though.
Yeah.
SEC Coach of the Year.
Do you at least have the conversation with Tony, like, behind closed doors? Like, hey, man, like, we want to keep you around, so don't be fielding calls. We're going to make this right.
I mean, not yet. You want him focused on, but you're...
What do you just... You got to at least say, like, I'm real proud of you, buddy.
Yeah.
Keep
it
up. Wink, wink.
Okay. Yeah. Appreciate what you're doing right now.
You're doing a great job.
Arkansas is ranked number 6th in the country. Get started tonight, 7:30, SEC Network Plus. I mean, could this be the series that really puts them on the map? I mean, you're ranked, but you're at 500 in the league. You took the series from number 2 Georgia, but that was a home game. If they find a way to win 2 out of 3 this weekend at Arkansas, top 10 team and leaders of the West Division of the SEC, I mean, you pointed out, it really doesn't matter unless you're going to finish first in your division.
But still.
But everyone else that plays Arkansas is probably experiencing, you know, more than one loss. If you can win the series.
Winning this series would be unbelievable for Tony Vitello. Not only because Arkansas is just that damn good and he's only in year two, but because he just left Arkansas. He's already on the map now nationally. Mm-hmm. I mean, Roberto called in last week and mentioned it, like, National Coach of the Year conversation, or that may have been Monday. He's really starting to get the attention, and he's starting to get some attention not only for himself but also for Tennessee's baseball program, which has been dormant now for a long time. Winning this series this weekend, though, like, it cements you as a real threat in the SEC, like, heading into the SEC tournament and so on and so forth. I mean, the fact that we're even having a conversation of not only making the SEC tournament – but being in the top half of the league as far as your record, potentially hosting a regional in the NCAA tournament. I mean, he's done this in a year and a half. Like, these are with, sure, some players he signed, but a lot of players that he inherited, and he's just got them playing that much better as far as the brand of baseball. So not only, I mean, when you signed him, you thought, oh, he's a stud recruiter. He's going to come in here and at least get the talent. He's going to evaluate. He's taking guys you already had and made them so much better. So not only do we know he can recruit, now it's looking like we know he can coach a little bit. That's the boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like game management for him has not been a problem, not been an issue. We haven't had the what was Tony Vitello thinking in this scenario play out. So, yeah, I think a win this weekend It just adds so much legitimacy to what he's done in such a short amount of time.
Arkansas is one of the most dangerous lineups in college baseball. It features 9 players with 20 or more runs batted in. Arkansas ranks among the top 5 in the SEC in 13 offensive statistical categories.
Pretty good.
Second runs, hits, RBI, doubles, slugging percentage, and on-base percentage. So it'll be tough for the Tennessee pitching staff as they try and slow down that Arkansas offense. And then tonight for Arkansas, Isaiah Campbell is their right-handed ace of the pitching staff. The redshirt junior is 7-1 with a 2.44 ERA on the year. He struck out 78 and only walked 10. So that's the challenge Tennessee faces as they start the series tonight in Fayetteville as they take on SEC West leading Arkansas, who's currently 31-11, same as Tennessee on the overall record, but they are 12-6 in league play, and Tennessee is 9-9. And if you think back, if you do follow college baseball, last year Arkansas was the national runner-up. They lost in the championship series at the College World Series. So I mean, this is big boy baseball tonight.
Yeah, and then Missouri comes to town next weekend, so there's no in-between game between these series. So You'll go, you know, Arkansas, travel back. And then Missouri comes in for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Another good team, another chance to improve the SEC record. We talk about, like, tiers all the time in college football, especially in the SEC. Honestly, if Tennessee wins one game against Arkansas, I think it kind of cements them in that second tier. And if they take the series, you really start to wonder, hey, how good can this team be if they get swept, I'm not going to be completely heartbroken. But this, again, just a chance to kind of see where you're at.
Because, measuring stick series.
Yeah, because this is a very, very good Arkansas team. You're obviously on the road, which makes it a little bit tougher. Glad they got to fly and not bus. That's huge. Let's see what Tony V's got.
Tonight, 7:30, you know, the Watch ESPN app, SEC Network Plus.
Same thing tomorrow at 7:30, but Sunday, SEC Network.
There you go.
Television.
5 o'clock
You can actually watch
Sunday.
It on SEC Network, 5 o'clock Sunday.
Pitchers for Tennessee, Garrett Crochet tonight, 3-2, 2.45 ERA, and then Garrett Stallings, who's 7-2 with a 1.82 ERA, is your projected Saturday starter, and then Zach Lingenfelter, projected for Sunday. He's currently 6-4, 3.91 ERA there. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. It's a Friday edition of Three and Out. Wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top. Ain't no telephone bill. Final segment of the day of the week here on Three and Out. Appreciate you listening. This segment's brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. You can go to goldgym.com to find the location nearest you. And as always, download the free VIP pass at goldgym.com. Dave, you got any fitness tips for us today? I got one if you don't.
I'm kind of curious what your Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day is.
Well,
I am too.
You just have to make sure that if you haven't worked out in a long time, that you don't overdo it. You have to ease back into it. I was having this conversation with an older gentleman the other day, and he said, every time I try and like work out, I push myself too hard, and then I end up completely sore, and I can't even get up my steps the next day.
Yeah.
So if it's one thing if you're a, you know, if you're a physical beast, if you look like one of these guys getting drafted this weekend, like that's one thing to you know, to push hard all the time. But if you've been out of the game for a while, just trying to ease back in it. And the trick is to make sure that you build out a schedule, you know, put reminders in your phone if you have to, whatever it takes to stay consistent. Because if you ease back in and then kind of quit, it's not going to help. But you got to ease back in and continually stay on schedule.
It's true. I was going to go with wear sunscreen. A lot of people are trying to go back outside now that the
– in the gym? That seems foolish.
No, it's just a
I'm going to grease up the machines.
It's a life fitness tip.
Okay.
It's just his – for your health.
For your health with Davey Hudson. 12-week challenge winner of Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. I got sunburned bad on Easter. I wasn't thinking about it. You know, it wasn't even, didn't even feel hot. Just
my roommate went to the beach, and he tried like this new, it was like a roll-on sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
He did not apply it well. And I kid you not, like, it is the weirdest sunburn ever.
Streaky?
It's like half of his body has like just red, like a
splotches,
a weird pattern.
Oh, nice. Like a tattoo.
He didn't rub it in?
No, whatever he did it completely wrong.
What a fool. Gee whiz.
Well, if you like hating on recruiting stars, here's your 2019 NFL draft first round by recruiting rating. Barrett Salee tweeted this out courtesy of CBSSports.com.
Mm-hmm.
There were 8 5 stars, 9 4 stars, 11 3 stars. 1 2-star and 3 unranked.
Who was the 2-star? Does it say?
Josh Allen, Kentucky. Guess who the no star was? Or one of the ones?
Daniel Jones.
Under the radar.
He walked on at Duke.
Under the radar.
That Titus Howard offensive lineman we talked about from Alabama State that the Texans reached for, he was the other one of the other no stars. Along with Marquise Brown, but I think that was more because he was in the
JUCO guy.
Yeah.
Did you see the sad news out of England?
No, I didn't.
Prince William.
What's he doing?
He cheated on Kate.
Wait, what?
It's what they're saying. May have cheated on Kate. Knowing that his father's affair with Princess Diana, whatever that situation went. It wasn't an affair with her. It was an affair against her. Or with her. The first time. I forget. I was little. That's just sad. You just hate to see it. Prince William. Got everything you need. You're a prince. He was trying to sow his royal oats.
Oh, my God.
You will go to America, then you will come back and marry Armani.
He was
already
he
married.
He had an affair from Princess Diana.
That's right. Charles. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, she was having an affair, too.
Runs in the
with
family.
That guy. The limo driver, I think. Or something. I've watched a documentary on it. It was years ago. But she was apparently cheating around, yeah, and he was cheating around.
I have been unfaithful. That's what she said.
Yeah. And then, you know, the car crash in the bridge. Wink, wink. You don't mess with the royal family. I feel bad. I feel bad for Kate. She's a new wife. Didn't she just had a baby. Or she's about to have a baby. She had the baby.
You're not.
Are you sure you're not? I think
Meghan
you're
Markle.
Talking about the other one, yeah.
Harry.
Harry's wife. She's the pregnant one. Or they just had the baby or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how you drug us into this with no prep.
It's sad.
You're definitely thinking of Meghan Markle.
You thought this is definitely an area of expertise we're going to be able to
no, it
bestow
was William
upon
that,
our listeners.
No, it was William that cheated on Kate, and I thought she had a baby. Did she not?
She might have a while back, but that's I don't know.
They got like three kids.
Is Prince Royals. William cheating on Kate Middleton with her best friend?
Oh, no, best friend?
That's just a headline with a question mark, so probably not.
It's like the Kardashian...
It's
Tristan Thompson thing.
Rose Hanbury is the other woman. Kate,
it's a very English name.
Mistress is Kate Middleton's former friend.
Former friend.
Jeez. Too bad Houston couldn't squeeze in a great British baking show reference.
You would never get that on that show. Good wholesome people. Paul Hollywood. You know what he'd say about this story?
What?
I don't like it.
I love it.
I love it. Something about soggy bottoms, too, would be in there.
Have a great weekend, folks. That's been your Friday edition of 3 and Out. For Julia, Davey, Houston, I'm Nate. We appreciate you tuning in. Keep it right here for more Fan Run Radio.
Don't forget Game of Thrones Sunday. Don't forget Game of Thrones on Sunday.
For 85. 85-